We are currently in Deuteronomy chapter 28, looking at the blessings and the cursings which are going to come upon the Israeli people depending upon their relationship to God. He offers to them blessings if they will be obedient to the covenant, if they will be holy as He is holy, if they will trust Him. But unfortunately, He also has to warn them that if they engage in inappropriate behavior, if they violate the covenant habitually and continually, that He will have to come down on them with a curse, just like He is doing to the people currently living in the Promised Land, which the Israelis are being tasked to kick out or to execute if they try to stay. So we are right in the middle of the cursing section, and I think we'd best go back to Deuteronomy 28:20 to get our context a little bit more in line with what's about to come up. This section is really tough because of the fact it portrays God being the one that brings all these things on the Israeli people for their sin. Now, when we see these things happening later, they will be done through a lot of other agents, where He allows foreign armies to overrun the country. But it needs to be kept in mind that at this time in the book of Deuteronomy, He warned them that if they abandoned Him, He would actively come down on them just the same way that He was coming down on the Canaanites for their sin. So Deuteronomy 28:20, let's pick it up and continue thinking with somber reality of our own responsibility to remain in the new covenant, lest we come under the final judgment of God at the second coming of Jesus. He who is will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. He who is will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. So there's the connection. They are being given this land on the condition that they remain holy in it. If they cease being holy, then God has every right to evict them from the land, just like what is happening to the Canaanites. Verse 22, he who is will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation, and fiery heat. So we've got a little bit here, first of all, of right against the people, against their bodies. And then we shift over into what will happen against the land. With drought and with blight and with mildew, they shall pursue you until you perish. The heavens over your head shall be bronze. So the sky will just be cloudless, no rain coming out of it. The earth under you shall be iron. If the rain doesn't come, then the ground dries up and becomes solid, very heavy, hard. He who is will make the rain of your land powder. From heaven, dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Almost sounds a little bit like the images we see of the Dust Bowl of American history. He who is will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And that's exactly the opposite of the blessing that he'd promised. You shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, and your dead body shall be food for all birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. A picture of a of a landscape after a major battle where there's no one controlling the predatory birds. He who is will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and scabs and itch of which you cannot be healed. Now that's going back and remembering some of the plagues that God carried out against the Egyptians in order to force them to let the Israelis go. So here, the Israelis are being told, if you do not live up to the standard of holiness, I will bring my judgment against you. Verse 28, he who is will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind. And you shall grope at midday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. So the people will be just without any concept of what should happen next. They'll be wondering, what should I do? Where should I go? And there won't be any hope. And you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there will be no one to help you. And so again, this is what will come as judgment if and when the Israelis start engaging in unholy behavior habitually and long-term. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. Now, the idea of the ravish here is that probably a rape situation. That in some of these cases where they have brought the judgment of God upon them, the year might have started out with betrothal, but when the foreign armies come in and God does not protect the Israelis from it, then the betrothed woman will end up being at the use of these foreign armies. You shall build a house, but yet you shall not live in it or dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. These are all descriptions on the negative side of what had been described in a positive way elsewhere, that the Israelis were going to be able to get married and enjoy life with their wife, and that they were going to have houses that they would enjoy many years of life in, and have vineyards and animals that they were going to be able to enjoy because they were part of the holy nation. But God is saying the only way that that's going to happen is if you will remain holy. If you become unholy, I will bring the whole thing crashing down, and you will experience disaster in every category. Verse 31, your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat any of it. Your donkey will be seized before your face, but shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, but there will be no one to help you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and of all your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you will be driven mad by the sight that your eyes see. Now this gets a little bit more prophetic in nature and not just simply a threat. The Israelis will go off track. They will rebel against the holiness of God and live unholy lives in the land. And because of that, God will bring against the northern portion of the promised land the Assyrians, which at this time do not really exist as the culture that they will be in the time of 723 BC when they come and destroy and take into captivity in the northern kingdom. Same thing can be said of Babylon. Babylon city at this time that Moses is writing, this is just another city in Mesopotamia. But in 587 BC, It will be the center place of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, who at God's command, invitation, allowance, will come and take the kingdom of Judah into captivity and will destroy the temple of Solomon and the city of Jerusalem. And it will be maddening to the people living at that time. So here's the passage predicting that. Verse 35, he who is will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils, of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. He who is will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known. Now that's another very specific prophecy. The Israelis will not have a human king for several centuries after the writing of Deuteronomy. But God knows that they will have a king, and he gives that information to Moses and predicts that they and their king will be taken into captivity by a nation they don't even know yet. And yes, that will happen, both in the northern kingdom going into Assyrian captivity and in the southern kingdom going into Babylonian captivity. And there you will serve other gods of wood and stone. And that's kind of a two-prong sort of thing, is that some of them will go into these pagan countries, and they will continue worshiping the pagan deities that they'd adopted. And they will continue to be under God's judgment. But another way to look at this is that when you go into a pagan country, you become the plaything of the deity that those people worship, or of the deities that those people worship. And that is going to happen to the Israelis. Verse 37, and you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where he who is will lead you away. That is, they will look at you and they will see you as a negative example. You shall carry much seed into the field and shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. So it doesn't matter how much you plant, you're going to get very little return. And the reason is because God is not protecting the land anymore. Verse 38, you shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for the olives shall drop off. So God warns them, if you abandon me, I will abandon the blessed nature of this country that I'm taking you into. Verse 41, you shall father sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground. So when it says cricket here, it could be any type of insect that might be eating your plants, your crops. So they're going to be the ones that enjoy everything, because the Israelis will be gone. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And all of us can appreciate and understand the idioms involved in this. The Israelis are warned repeatedly by Moses at God's leadership that the only way that they can expect to receive the blessings of God would be to bless God themselves, to be holy as he is holy, and to seek his face, and to not engage in sinful practices. If they blow that off, then everything goes out the window. God will not protect them. God will not guarantee them good weather and good agricultural cycles and protection from outer countries from outside their borders coming in and taking their stuff. Verse 45. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of He who is your God to keep His commandments and His statutes that He commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever. So God says, the bad stuff that's going to come into your history are going to be around in that history for a long time as a testimony that what happened came because of your choices to sin. I mean, right now, today, here we are. We are 3,500 years after the writing of this book of Deuteronomy, give or take, you know, a few decades. And we're still talking about the judgments of God that came against the Israeli people after this time period. And why, even to this day, Israel has a problem trying to hold on to their identity in the Promised Land. And it's because they, even to this day, as a large group, do not acknowledge or obey the commandments of God. And the most important commandment of all was to accept Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus as Messiah. And that is why there is so much difficulty and turmoil that's still going on and happened historically. Verse 47, because you did not serve He who is your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all these things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom He who is will send against you, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and lacking everything. And He will put a yoke of iron on your neck until He has destroyed you. Now the He in that context is God. God is the one that's bringing judgment. Verse 49, continuing, He who is will bring a nation against you from far away, from the end of the earth, swooping down like an eagle, a nation whose language you do not understand, a hard-faced nation who will not respect the old or show mercy to the young. Now, there was a series of nations that did this against the Israeli in their future history from this time period. But there were certain key ones that we have to repeat all the time. There was the Assyrians, and there was the Babylonians. There were the Medes and the Persians. There were the Greeks, and there were the Romans. All of those different ethnic groups came against Israel, and because of Israel's sin at that particular time in history, they suffered underneath those governments. The Israelis, at the time that this is being written, would not have understood the Assyrian language or the Medo-Persian or Babylonian languages or the Greek language or the Roman language. But peoples from those ethnic groups would eventually be used by God to bring judgment. Verse 51. It shall eat the offspring of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed. And it also shall not leave you grain, wine, or oil, the increase of your herds or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. So all the potential blessings are taken away in the curse. Verse 52, they shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you in all your towns throughout all your land which He who is your God has given you. So at this time, the Israelis are not even in the land. So they don't have any high-walled towns. But eventually they will be in the land and they will make those high-walled towns. And God says, even that will not protect you from my judgment. I will bring these foreign nations in, and they will tear down those walls, they will breach those walls, and they will come in, and they will defeat you. Now, in the process of these assaults on the cities, they will get hungry. The Israelis will suffer intense lack of food. And God predicts something which shows up in Israeli histories, both the biblical history and outside of the Bible history, that this is exactly what happened during the depths of the sieges where they were starving to death. Verse 53, "And you shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom he who is your God has given you, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you." So they will end up resorting to cannibalism. And as I said, there's several different, both biblical and extra-biblical histories that describe cannibalism among the Israelis during a siege time. Verse 54, "The man who is the most tender and refined among you will begrudge food to his brother, to the wife he embraces, and to the last of the children whom he has left." So even the best, most kind, compassionate people during these times of famine will become vicious and mean and cruel and selfish, and they won't share anything with those that are starving around them. Verse 55, "So that he will not give to any of them, any of the flesh of his children whom he's eating, because he has nothing else left in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in all your towns." There is an example of a siege where the rebels, and I believe this is taking place during the destruction of Jerusalem, where it's Jewish people committing atrocities on Jewish people. This is before the Romans ever get into the city. The Romans are just surrounding it. And so the Jewish people that are stronger are fighting to take the food away from the weaker people. And if they smell food cooking, they rush in and they take the stuff away from the people. And they break into this one house, and there this woman is eating her kid. She's eating her baby. And she offers them a portion of it, and then basically tells them, "If you're not interested in eating it, go away. I will eat it myself." And it's just, it's disgusting. It is horrendous. And that is the point that is being brought up here by Moses in this section, saying, if you abandon God and God abandons you and brings judgment on you, you will descend into such a horrendous state of affairs that you will practice cannibalism and you will fight other people who want to eat your children's bodies because you have first dibs on them. Verse 56, "The most tender and refined woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she's so delicate and tender will begrudge the husband she embraces to her son and her daughter." So a beloved wife a few years earlier, in a time of judgment later, won't even share the flesh of her children with her own beloved husband. That's how bad it will be. "Her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears, because lacking everything, she will eat them secretly in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in your towns." So effectively, you have an example of a woman during a siege. She gives birth to a baby. First thing she eats is the placenta because she's starving to death. But soon she eats the baby because she's still hungry. And this is the depths of sin and degradation that Moses is letting the people know you will fall into if you don't keep to the word. Verse 58. If you are not careful to do all the things of this law that are written in this book, then you may fear this glorious and awesome name, He who is your God. Then He who is will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting. He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also, and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, He who is will bring upon you until you are destroyed. So you need to keep the word, he tells the Israelites, or the word will come against you. The judgments of God will pour out on you. Whereas you are as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number because you didn't obey the voice of He who is your God. And as He who is took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so He who is will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you, and you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of. He describes here how God will bring this judgment if you abandon Him and do the things that you're being warned not to do. Verse 64, and He who is will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your families have known. So the prediction ends with being booted out of the land and scattered around the world, a diaspora, if you will. And that is exactly what will happen with the Israelites from the time of the Assyrians through the time of the Babylonians, and eventually right into the time of the Romans and beyond.